Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I'm the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star Is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. Thank you so much for tuning back in. If you are listening to Talk to Me for another time, tell somebody about the show, share the link, share the phone number so other people can participate and listen in. This is going to be a fantabulous show because I have two wonderful people that are coming on tonight. And this show is called Lights, Camera, Radio, Action. And and so that'll tell you a little bit about our guests that are going to be coming on. But I do want to say congratulations so far. Ernest Brown and Tamar Cardwell have gotten 122 listens for their show that happened at the beginning of the year. I said I was going to make an announcement who was going to be the winner for 2023 with the guest that had the most listens. And so far, they are still in the lead. So I want to let you know that you got to share the show with your people as well. I do it on my end, but you got to do it on your end too. So we're going to get a little bit into the background of the show real quick. If you don't know, this show has been going on for 13 years, over 500 guests, over 200 episodes, and over 10,000 in listenerships, reaching the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, Dominican Republic, South Africa, and Nigeria. So if you know somebody that's living in a different country, they can also listen to this show when it's live streaming, and even when it's not. All you got to do is go back and click the link for the show and share it with anyone around the world. So in any case, let's get into these scriptures for tonight. We're talking about making music. And also we're talking about making movies. So I'm going to come out of Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Psalm 150:4 says, praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. You know, people have different gifts and people have different callings on their life, and everyone is not the same. And if we were the same, we would be robots walking around. But God calls us, and the way he calls you might be through music. So in any case, never be envious of what someone else is doing and their calling on their life, because you don't know what they had to go through to get there. Psalm 105:2 says, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works. Psalms 40:3 says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I was listening to some old songs that I used to listen to when I came back to Christ and rededicated myself in the early 30s, and it just brought me back and, you know, reminiscing about, you know, the love of God and, you know, what place was I in emotionally and in my life. And, you know, sometimes we got to do that. We got to go back to when it first happened. That wasn't when it first happened for me, but it was also when I rededicated myself. Matthew 6:22-23 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, darkness, how? And what this means to me, if I put it a little clearly, is how do you see things, your perception? How do you look at a situation, you know? And sometimes we got to check ourselves, you know, when we are beginning to think negative instead of positive, because we can turn a good situation into something that it's not, just by clearly thinking negatively on something, and you may not be right in your judgment of what is actually happening. And one thing I do know is jealousy and envy will cause so many bad things to happen, and we don't want to harbor that in our hearts. I'm going to read one last one, and it says Mark 7:20-23, and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So it's not what goes in your mouth, but it is what comes out of your mouth. And so I'm going to stop right there as far as the scriptures are concerned. And I'm going to do some birthday shout outs. Birthday shout outs go to my homegirl, Sheila McCoy, whose birthday was just this past weekend, and Tony Scott, my cousin. Happy birthday, Cheryl Gatling Galloway, Nancy Deed, Melvin Ralph DeRosa, Dwayne Thomas, Shanae McCray, Irene Hanley, Letitia Galloway, Allison Robinson, Sharon Davis, Dre Romero, who actually was on this show before, Malcolm Shabazz, my cousin, Maurice McMillan, Pamela Moore, Bobby L. Humphrey, my cousin as well, Joe Soares, Willie Gothy, Gerard Wright, my cousin, Crystal Wright, my cousin, Michael Valentine, Key Lindsay, June McClain, Maurice Humphrey, Linda Humphrey, my cousin, D. Lucas, who's been on the show before, Karen Graves Medley, Howie Bell, who's been on the show, and Catherine Cat Vanderpool, all to the end of this month for birthdays. So if I missed your name, you know, charge it to my head, not my heart. I can't mention everyone, but I try to do my best. So I see that my first caller is waiting patiently on the line. So I am going to play a very quick song, and then I'm going to come back and interview this very beautiful woman.
Shoot up, baby.
Oh, what's up, man?
Great.
Hey, what's up? How's
got
everything?
Got that food in here for me?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I got the crew up in here on me, kid. We're going to go do that, all right?
All right, who you with tonight, man?
The team, the Molly, the Tax Order,
word,
man.
Word.
I'll
holler at you.
All
right,
ooh, chicks in the house. Let's go make that money. I know that's right.
I'm telling you, it's going to be something. Something like camera action.
Yeah.
Ain't y'all, man. One shot there.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm in the spot where I wanna be. Money spent, getting bent, six in front of me. Just the way I like it. Money turning something. I got a seat up in the cut and I'm burning something. Fruity dance around and I'm peeling one. Off the top of the stairs and I'm feeling buns. Put some dolo at the table. I'm with the chick with the fat fatty and the ring up in the navel. Dances around, she struts with the touches her toes so she can make her butt talk. Do what you gotta do. I ain't mad at you. Know a lot of famous women seen none as bad as you. You's a real bad girl and they need that. Sippin' on your Henny, actin' with a weed ass. Let me put you on to something. With a big n***a, no frontin'.
Shorty, turn it around, let me see you something. With me, it's gonna be something. Yeah, I'm talking lights, camera, action. Have me singin' out, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Turn it around, let me see you something. With me, it's gonna be something. Yeah, I'm talking lights, camera, action. Have me singin' out, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
The way it's going down, she got the thongs on. She started bouncing more when she heard the thong song. Them high heels got them calves looking right too. Shorty, come live with me for the night, yo. I'm only trying to holler, it's only right you holler back. So where you headed, let me follow that. And word up, I got plans for you. More than my tongue and my hands are do. The way you move to the music and make a nigga wanna take you up out of here, go somewhere and lose it. And your physique is off the chain. It's gonna be hard getting you off the brain. I mean, we could take a drive in the X5. The way you boogie on the floor, I know that's that side. Use a dime piece, I'm trying to see something. Like you're teasing in your front and let me squeeze.
Shorty, turn it around, let me see something. With me, for real, it's gonna be something. Yeah, I'm talking lights, camera, action. And this thing I know, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Turn it around.
There you have it. That was Lights, Camera, Action by Mr. Cheeks, a throwback. Boy, oh boy, when I hear that song, I can't control myself. Lord, he be dealing with me because I'm telling you, I've always loved to dance. I get it from my mama. I can't even help myself. But I'm going to plug in my very first caller. She is a filmmaker, an actress, and a writer. I'm sure she does many other things. She has a beautiful son, and she is gorgeous herself. I met her at the Black Film Festival that came this past summer to Bridgeport, and her name is Latrice A. Strong. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm hanging in there, girl. You know, the devil is a liar, trying to always mess with my voice. I'm trying to get over the ear infection and bronchitis, sinus infection. Yeah, girl, but it ain't going to get me. I'm getting through this show. We're going to have fun with this interview.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're not alone. The seasons are changing, and almost everyone that I encounter is dealing with some type of cold or flu or seasonal allergy. So I totally understand.
Exactly. So now, Latrice, you are from Washington, D.C., correct?
Yes, born and raised.
Oh, born and raised. All right. Now, was you here back in 93?
Huh, I'm sorry, repeat that.
I said, were you there back in 93?
I sure was.
What? I was living in D.C.
Hey,
yes.
I was a little girl in 93, but I was here.
You were there? Okay.
I sure was. Yep, born and raised. D.C. is home.
Yes, going to Howard University, you know, but
okay.
I don't really like D.C. I'm going to be honest with you, Latrice.
Well, I, you know, may I ask why? Is it too much, like too busy?
Well, number one, I couldn't learn how to take the transportation.
Okay.
Number two is like a whole stroll right outside our dormitory. That right there used to get me like so upset all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what?
Howard University is an amazing university, but, you know, where it's located, you know, it's definitely, like, you know, some interesting things that's going on Georgia Avenue. So I can only imagine what you've witnessed.
Right, absolutely. But in any case, I met you at the Black Film Festival, and you had your son in a movie that you created yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm
at the Bridgeport.
Uh-huh.
Kijana Falme Boy King, which means Kijana Falme means Boy King in Swahili.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I saw the film, and it was intriguing. It caught my attention. I believe yours was the one where the little girl was sitting at the bus stop. Am I right? With her mother?
No. So my film is the little boy that it opens up in the tree, and he's sitting in the
tree. Yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah,
I remember that part.
I didn't have a little girl at the bus stop, though. I know, but there was a film that I saw with the little girl at the bus stop, and that was a really good film. I can't remember that film, and the person she was sitting next to, you know, was like her Barbie doll, right?
Right.
Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah, that was a beautiful film. That was very cool. Yeah, but that was my project.
Oh, I thought you did both. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the movie.
Sure. You know what? Honestly, I live in the nation's capital in D.C., and since the pandemic, we have had, like, a huge increase in crime, especially with our Black and brown boys in D.C. You know, you cannot – every day there's something happening with our youngsters, you know, from carjackings to murders, you name it. Like, we are definitely in a crisis. So with the project, it's really what motivated me or inspired me to write it was kind of like a response to a young boy who was about 12, and he was out with some friends, and he attempted to break into a vehicle, and one of the neighbors came outside and shot his gun through, like, his property, and it ended up fatally killing this little kid who actually happened to be in middle school. So, you know, it was a big thing in our community because, one, you know, a lot of the residents are, like, fed up with the carjackings and the break-ins. But then also this was, like, a little boy who was murdered. And it was, like, a huge community meeting. And it was just kind of like I was restless. I was like, you know, what can I do outside of, like, being a filmmaker? I also am a founder of a nonprofit, and I do a lot of work with inner-city youth. So I'm like, well, what can I do? Just what can I do? So this is when I actually had the idea to write this movie. I sleep one night, and I kept on hearing Abraham's Promise. And I was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? So I actually did some research, like 3 o'clock in the morning, like, what is the significance of Abraham in the Bible? And, you know, after learning or basically refreshing my memory about Sarah and their challenges of trying to conceive, and I was like, you know what? This, to me, like, it's like having unwavering faith and hope and putting your trust in God.
Yeah.
Despite you know, of the challenges of which you don't see possible. You know, God promised Abraham a child, and, you know, they were somewhat impatient.
Yes, he
so,
did.
You know, Sarah gave him the permission to go out and have another baby, but it wasn't the baby that God promised. So, you know, mm-hmm. God was like, you know, well, hey, you doubted me. I told you, you know, give you a baby. So, you know, Abraham had to basically trust God. It was like, you know, hey, bring the baby up, you know, on a hill, you know. So, you know, he had to bring the baby up there, but, you know, he put his trust and faith in God. And, you know, so, like, that's the story. So I'm like, okay, what can I do with this? So basically, Kijana Falme is, like, my love letter to black and brown boys. And I talk about the challenges that's happening in the world. But ultimately, you have to have faith and unwavering hope to know that everything is going to be okay. So that was kind of like how I was able to interpret that message for me with writing Kijana Falme.
Okay, and your son looks exactly like you. You both look like Native Americans. I just thought it was so intriguing, the style that you use to, you know, get your message across. Mm-hmm. And what have you played in? Have you played in any movies yourself?
Yes. So when I acting before, really, well, I've always was a writer, like a storyteller. But I started out in theater. So I did a few plays, one being Conversation About Her many years ago. And I've actually done some independent projects. Archives of the Heart was like one of my first projects that I did. It was like a web series. I have a short film that I did called So I Married My Best Friend. But to be completely honest, I've really just been so much focusing on writing, creating stories. I recently did sign to the Wayne Talent Agency, and I've had an opportunity to audition, which has been great because I was like, you know what, I'm getting back into acting. Like everyone's, like a lot of friends, like, girl, get back in front of the camera. You know, you got very comfortable behind the camera and you're staying there. But with the strike, you know, auditions have been very, very slow. But,
yes,
you know, I'm still a writer and I'm a creator. So I'm still able to be creative and create stories. But, you know,
yes.
I haven't had many audition opportunities because of the writer's strike. Because I'm a union member. I'm a SAG-AFTRA performer.
Okay.
So, you know,
right.
Because of that reason, our auditions, you know, for me has been a little limited. But, I mean, I've just been writing and, you know, focusing on the other part. Yeah.
And so have you always been a storyteller, you know, like starting from
mm-hmm.
a young age up? You have? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I've always, I've always was a writer. I've had baby dolls, but I was the person that wanted to get lost in my imagination and write plays, write poetry. So I've always been a writer.
Mhm, mhm. Can relate to this, and so yeah, you know, I've done a lot of acting myself, and I'm a writer and an author, and I've written like I don't know how many plays. I've only done about three of them at the Rich Forum in Stanford, but. You know,
okay.
I've always been a storyteller myself, and I think I got it from my great-grandmother who raised me because she was a poet, and she wrote, she always told me stories. You know,
okay.
Can you relate to someone in your family or that was around you during that time that might have sparked your interest?
You know what? I can't say a family member sparked my interest creatively because my dad, for one, he passed away when I was 17, but he was also very like on point with me being like education, like, you know,
right?
Hey,
right?
You know, like some of his last words before he passed away, he had cancer, like, whatever you do, you must graduate from college, you know? So it was like, you know,
mm-hmm.
he loves arts, but I know I need you to, like, be a lawyer or something. So that was kind of like my dad. even though he was still very supportive. My mom,
right.
you know, she was also very supportive. Like when I was younger, I had opportunities to audition for Robert Towson. I was a little girl, you know, I had a chance to meet him, audition for Spike Lee. So like my foot was always somewhat dabbling in the arts, but my
right.
dad was really not that parent that
yes.
was going to take me to every single audition. You know, when you're a young talent, you have to the parents have to have that buy-in. Like, you know, so I didn't really have that type of buy-in as a youngster. Like, they would take me, but it wasn't like, okay, we're going to every single audition, Latrice. You know what I mean? So my dad was
yes.
really in favor of me thinking that was going to be, like, my main career.
Right,
but
right.
But as I got a little older, I mean, I went to college. I mean, outside of being an art, like, I've graduated. I have bachelor's degree in family consumer science, a master's also in educational leadership, and a master's in creative writing and television and film. So, like, I definitely, you know, went to school and went that scholastic route. But, you know, I just started just following my passion and really, like, you know, I did what I have to do, but ultimately, you have to do what makes me happy. So, yeah.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you were mentioning something about, you know, your father and him passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he instilled that type of stability in you, even
mm-hmm.
though you were creative. Because I always believe that whatever God created you to do from jump, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know as a child, you know as a five-year-old what you like. I believe that
right.
as you begin to grow, you know, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the first
right.
couple of answers, you know, if it's off the, you know, rocker, you know, that, you know, they're still in a more immature stage. But as they get older, they will tell you, and I believe, honestly, that is the core answer for what it is that God has you put on earth to do. Because
mm-hmm.
movies tell stories, and they
right.
impact us. You know,
right.
otherwise the industry wouldn't be making as much money as it does. So
mm-hmm.
Where do you see yourself, you know, going in the the movie industry, you know, within the next 5 years? You know, where do you see yourself?
Definitely, everything I do, like I've made a promise to myself that each project I want to improve on and get better. So I'm like right now I'm in a process of writing my first feature film and a series.
All right.
So I plan on like just being in a position to independently produce and green light content and projects. And
yes.
if I get obstacles, that's great. You know, then my son is he's an aspiring actor. So, you know, I'm kind of doing the mommy manager thing too. So he gets
right.
a lot of auditions
right.
and that's a whole nother job, like just, you
yeah.
know, auditions.
I can
and
imagine.
He's a kid, you know. But that's
yes.
not his passion, though, right? So it's like, you know, look, I'm just want to expose you to opportunities. He also has an agent. But ultimately, I'm going to support you. This acting is not his passion. He's like, yeah, I can do it. You know, if I can make some money. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, he did a few jobs, and, you know, he has a little account, which is really cute. You know, but that's not his passion. He wants to be a scientist and a content creator. You know, all the kids think
wow.
they can do something.
Wow, that is
but
wonderful.
He loves science. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And you know, and that's a great thing that you're doing. You're exposing him to different avenues just in case, you know.
Right.
And
exactly.
that is a wonderful thing.
yeah.
Yes. And so, another question real quick before, you know,
sure.
we end. What are some of the steps that you take in making a film?
Some of the steps that I take. So, one, creatively, I have to be in a really good headspace. I have to feel inspired. So that really comes with a lot of grounding and talk and meditation and talk with God, you know what I mean? And making sure
right.
that, you know, I'm just guided spiritually and
yes.
the message that I'm trying to get out there feels good to me first. And then after that, I rock it, you know. In the past, I definitely did a lot of projects with friends and things, and that was beautiful. But, like, moving forward, I researched and I find the best. You know, I save money, and I it's like a business. Like, you know, it's a transaction. You know what I mean? So it's like I've learned lessons
right.
from collaborations that may not necessarily benefit all parties involved. Like, just moving forward, I just want, like, the best people on the project. I want to learn. I network. If I'm entering a subject that I'm not too familiar about, I definitely research to make sure it makes sense. I do
yes.
all that stuff before I even do production.
Wow.
You know, and then I just write
wow.
and I sit with it for a while before I, you know, go to, like, the action steps, which is, like,
yes.
the casting call and, you know, writing a script mm-hmm. and things like that.
Wow, that is just amazing, you know, and I wish you all the best, honey. Just do everything
you.
That your heart desires, yes. And
thank
you.
You
definitely
please
have,
keep in touch.
You're welcome. You definitely
yes,
have the head, the heart, and the beauty. So continue doing what you're doing. I'm appreciative and honored that you came on tonight. Keep me in mind when you're casting for these different roles.
Okay. I still will.
You know
like,
what I'm saying?
Keep in touch. I have your information.
Yes.
And thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a great, great day. Thank you for coming on
you
Talk
too.
To Me.
Take
All
care.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And there you have it. That was Latrice A. Strong, filmmaker, actress, and writer from D.C. So I'm going to play a little bit more music for you guys, and then I'm going to be coming back with a couple of announcements, and we're going to be interviewing this next man who is just dynamite. So hold on, and we're going to go to the scene. If I can find it. Well, you know what? I'm going to play a little bit of Feels Good by Tony Tone.
Play this record as frequently as possible. Then, as it becomes easier for you, play the record once a day or as needed.
Tony Tone Feels Good. I am going to give you some information if you'd like to donate. First of all, I do have a link up here. I am in the 40 and Fab contest that's going on Facebook and Instagram. Please take the time out to vote daily. You can do that for free. The link is up there, so you could copy and paste it and then just click it, and, you know, you could donate 25 votes, 50 votes, whatever. But if you'd like to donate to Diamonds in the Rough, you can do that. You can order books. You can order art. It's on my website. The link is up there, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. Descriptions of the books are up there. Choose them, then you contact me via text, inbox, DM, or email, and I will get back to you. Several payments, forms of payments are available. If you'd like me to MC, teach, preach, run a class or forum on sexual assault or domestic violence, have me as a spoken word artist, comedian, actress, slash director, or as a business consultant, you can reach out to me. Fees and honorariums are mandatory, and payment plans for the art is accepted. I want to send condolences to a friend of mine, Tricia Owens, I believe, as she lost her aunt, and anyone else that has lost a loved one since the last time I did the show. My heart goes out to you as well. I'm going to play real quick a little bit of I Like My Guy, and then we're going to hear what this great man has to say. That was I Like My Guy. I am going to click my caller in. His name is DJ Doc Martin of WBLS. I'm sure many of you that are in the tri-state area and in Fairfield County in Connecticut have heard of this young man. And so I'm going to click him in right now. Hello.
Hey.
Hi. How you doing,
Doc? How you doing? Good.
Great, great, great. Yes, I met you at Kim Mathis' backyard comedy party in the summer, and you're such a fun guy. You really are.
I appreciate that.
I'm sorry.
Am so blessed to be here. I am. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, definitely. So how did you, number one, how did you come up with the stage name, Doc Martin?
Wow, that's a long story, but no, it's actually not that long.
Don't give me the long version. Just give me a little taste.
I give you a taste of it. It actually derives from rapping. Back in high school, I was born and raised in Connecticut. So a friend of mine in high school was from New York. He was from Brooklyn, New York, and he used to go back to his grandmother's house in Flatbush. And every summer, and then when he would come back to school, he would come with these cassette tapes of, you know, different hip-hop battles in the park and all that type of thing. That's when hip-hop was first starting out. And from those tapes, we got inspired to be rappers ourselves. And we had a group, and my rapper name, and I'm not really, you know, embarrassed to say it, but my rapper name back in the day was Doc Slick. And
our MC names.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we used to be very popular in our little circle there and stuff at lunchtime, you know, we'd do our rhymes or we'd do them in Spanish class, and we'd be banging on the desks to create beats and stuff. And that was probably the spring going into the summer of 80. And we decided to stop banging on desks and stuff and put our monies together and buy some equipment. So we bought 2 turntables. We didn't even have enough money to buy a mixer at that point. We assembled them all down in his mother's basement, and we played around with DJing and stuff. And we just had a receiver. We just had 401, 402. That was our mixer, and we listened to the grooves from the records by ear, and we were able to do back and forth mixing and then eventually blending. So shortly after that, I just dropped the Slick part. And my last name is Martin, so I just kept Doc Martin. And it kind of is a twofold name now, because not only is it my professional name as far as DJing is concerned, it became a professional name with radio. And now it's being extended to another hobby of mine. I'm a youth baseball coach. So they're used to calling me Doc Martin as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow, because I was curious. That's why I said, let me just ask this question, because, you know, everybody has a great, you know, different story of their coming up, you know.
Their origin,
in the industry.
Their origin story, like superheroes.
Yes.
So now, as you can tell, I started DJing in 80, so I've been around for a while. I'm a veteran.
Wow, I was 9 years old. Ain't that something? And I didn't even get introduced to hip-hop until I was 11, and that was my very first Sugar Hill album, you know. So I fell in love with hip-hop back then, you know, and you were already doing your thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was really into hip-hop because that was what we got into when we were in high school and stuff. As I got older, after I graduated high school and I started being out on my own, I took trips down to New York with a friend of mine who at the time, this is when I was living in New Haven, Connecticut, and he was a Yale student, and it just so happens that he had a membership to the Paradise Garage. So I used to take trips down there after my gigs, you know, in Hartford, and go down there to the Paradise Garage like 4:30 in the morning. We get down there and we'd be there until they close at 10. So, you know, I got really into the club thing. And then when the Paradise Garage closed in the late 80s, people were telling me about this place across the river called Club Zanzibar in New Jersey. And I went there.
Oh yeah.
And
I heard
fell in love with it. Yeah. And I fell in love with it even more. So, you know, over the years, I've been pretty much involved in or frequented a lot of, supported a lot of places in the tri-state area that, you know, supported club and dance music. You know, that's been my biggest passion. You know, I never gave up the hip-hop or even the R&B situation, because I was actually doing a grown and sexy grown folks type party, I'll call it that, in Hartford for a long time, you know, for about 15, 16 years and stuff. So I never gave up the R&B and the hip hop. So one of the things that I've always told people is that you can't really put me in a box as far as DJing is concerned, because I'm just a DJ. But I will admit that as I get older, I've been more drawn to club music and house music. That's been my passion for a number of years now and stuff. So that's been my main thing, my main focus. And the oldies, too, the club classics from the 80s and early 90s. So those have been my focus. But I still get out and do things, you know, like we saw each other at a comedy show, you know, because I do that as well, you know. So I still do
my
mobile DJ
house.
So we had fun. We had a ball.
Yes, we did. I ain't going to lie about that. We sure did. But you answered like three of my questions already that I had down for you. But if you weren't doing radio, what would you be doing?
Oh,
strictly
I
the coaching? Or
I couldn't. No, actually, I couldn't really tell you that what I would really be doing because, well, I will say this in terms of how paths work out. When I was in grade school, elementary school, and even early high school, I was very artistic, and I loved drawing, and I loved cartoon work, and I thought at a very early age, I thought at a very early age that I was going to be like the next, like the black Charles Schulz from Peanuts, you know? And I really had a good art background there, and I thought I was going to really go forward with that. But then, like I said, being in high school and you're influenced with your peers and you're hanging out and everything else, I was drawn to music. However, and I will tell you this, that when it comes down to defining Doc Martin, I have actually two lives. I have the DJ life and I have the radio life, and both of them have coexisted for many, many years now. And
yes,
the DJ life, like I said, started in the 80s, but the radio life actually started way before then. Because I used to listen to even AM radio and get excited about a lot of the things I heard. And as a young child, I remember walking around the house with one of those little cassette recorders, you know, that you used to press, you know, play and stop and everything else. And I would go around the house interviewing people and even inanimate objects. I would just pretend like I was an interviewer. And
right.
I listened to a lot of radio when I was a kid and even as an adult. And that really influenced me. So I will have to say that in the time that I've been doing simultaneously both radio and DJing, that I could never see myself doing anything else. And one of the things I learned very early on is I've had many jobs, but I've never had a better career than I've had with both radio and DJing. This is honestly something I can say that I've definitely done. This is my career, and I can't see myself doing anything else because it's truly something that I enjoy. And how many people can say that they have a career that they truly enjoy? They love going to the office. You know what I'm saying? I don't even consider it an office, you know? And I think what draws me to both careers is the same thing that you're doing right now. And that is entertaining other people and giving people, you know, the benefit of your gift, you know, of being able to talk to people, being able to communicate to people, and being able to expose them to different things that you can truly entertain or you can inform or whatever. And that's what I've been basically, you know, focusing on all these years and doing, trying to make other people share my gift, you know?
Right. And you know what? It's funny that you said that you used to go around the house and interviewing and stuff like that, you know, before you probably even knew actually what you were doing. And my great grandmother used to do that. I mean, I would hear myself as an adult at 5 screaming, "I don't like that." And she would record all our family functions. I mean, I don't know why, but this is just something that she did. And, you know, maybe watching her do that made me, you know, strike up an interest. I don't know. But I've heard your name for years on WBLS. That's still one of my favorite radio stations that I listen to. My girlfriends might listen to other stuff, you know. But I am, you know, a old school. I love my R&B. I love my old school hip hop, and I've been hearing your name for years on WBLS. And it's just so funny that we're now having this interview. But tell me, Doc, can you remember your funniest radio interview that you did and what happened?
One of the things you find out when you are interviewing people and you're talking to people, especially famous people, is that you find out that some of the perceptions that you might have had about them before you interviewed them are pretty much changed. You know, I've had some. I don't think I've ever had a bad interview.
Right.
I've had interviews with people where someone has told me ahead of time, one of their handlers or somebody else, that, you know, they're going to be difficult and don't mention this and don't say this and that. But I think over the years, I've developed a style that basically people can be comfortable talking to me, and they know that even if I have to approach a certain subject because of my audience, that I have a way to be able to present that subject in it so that they're not feeling like they're being, you know, I'm being confrontational with them, you know?
Right.
So I've had some great, I've been blessed. I have truly been blessed to either been a part of or actually interview a lot of different people over the years, you know, through the work
right
that
there.
I've done.
That's coming to my next question. Name some people that you met that stood out for you. You know, you've been doing this a long time, so I know it's many. Can you name a couple?
Yeah, so I can name. I could tell you about a couple of instances I had. The first one will be what I call the best trip I ever took. The best trip I ever – it was two trips, actually, but I'll tell you about one. So the first trip I took was that I was doing – when I came to New York in 97, I was working for a radio syndication company, and the company was a company that put out programs and content for DJs and radio stations. They did show prep so DJs would have something to talk about on their shows. And we also did 1 hour and 2 hour specials on world premieres of different artists that had new albums coming out. And I remember when I first started, one of the interviews that I had, they sent me down to Baltimore, and they wanted me to produce and show for Will Smith. This is when Will Smith was first coming out with Big Willie Style, I think was the name of the album. It had Welcome to Miami and had a couple of other big hits on it and stuff. But simultaneously, at the time that album came out, and Get Jiggy was on that too. At the same time that that album was being released, Will was he was starring in a movie called Enemy of the State. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Yeah,
he plays a lawyer, and Gene Hackman is in the movie as well. And there's I think Regina King played his wife, if I'm not mistaken. That movie was filmed on location in Baltimore. So they sent me down to Baltimore to do this show with one of the local DJs from down in the Baltimore area, one of the R&B stations down there. And we did the interview in Will's trailer, you know, during the downtime of, you know, with the movie, you know, like you're setting up the scenes and blocking and doing all the lighting stuff. So we did the interview in Will's trailer, and the interview went well. The show went well. I had wrote and produced all the parts and all the things for the DJ to talk to him about and everything else. And then after we recorded, we just sat back and chilled, and we just, you know, had a casual conversation. And one of the things that struck me about Will Smith at that time, and he's pretty much the same way even today, is when Will talks, especially when he's talking around people, you know, who are interviewing him and talking, whatever, he talks in sound bites. He talks in these sentences that are, you know, short, you know, right to the point.
Right.
And it was really astounding how he did that, right? But he was also talking about when he was first getting that deal that he had, which kind of consolidated the movies, the music, and this production company and everything else. It was very impressive on how he was talking about, you know, rappers getting into the music business and getting into the film business and getting into the television business, you know. And, of course, that was a blueprint that had been around with Queen Latifah, Busta Rhymes. There was a bunch of people that had those types of deals at that time and stuff. So it was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. What was really crazy was that after we went through all that, and he was very comfortable with us, and he loved having us there and everything, and we're sitting there, and we're playing Tiger Woods golf on the big screen. He had like a PlayStation, you know, when PlayStation was like, I guess, one or two or whatever at that time. And I remember the host of the show, he leans into him and he says, yeah, so I got this resume and this headshot. Can you put me down? And I was like, oh, my God, I know you didn't just do that. Because almost immediately, almost after that, we were escorted off the trailer.
Oh, my God.
So I say this to say that you have to understand that when you're in these people's presence, you know, they don't expect you to be coming at them. You know what I'm saying? They do and they don't.
Right.
You know, that's the reason why they have those secondary people that are always, you know, blocking you and that kind of thing.
Okay.
My thing is,
okay,
if there was anything I really, really wanted to ask Will Smith, I don't think I definitely don't think it would be the time to be promoting myself and putting myself out there like that, you know? And
no.
That's one of the things that I have pretty much have always felt the need to do. I felt that I always had to be professional in any type of situation. I've conducted
right.
a lot of interviews. I've engineered a lot of interviews, and I have never put myself, you know, like that, out there like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I've gotten
right.
incredible interviews and situations. I mean, I remember interviewing Destiny's Child, you know, when they first came out, and we did an interview with them, you know, and they were very nice and everything, and we, you know, they sat, you know, for a bunch of interviews with different stations that we had set up for them and everything. And one of the things I remember about that interview was we were walking them to the elevator, and Beyonce stepped out of the elevator and, you know, shook my hand and said, Doc, you asked some very nice questions. It was a heck of an interview. I appreciate you. And she just said it like you know, like, remember my name and everything. Wow, that was great.
Wow.
You know? And that really impressed me. You know what I'm saying? And I could tell
mm-hmm.
you another story where I was producing a show for Luther Vandross. And once again, we had him in.
Oh, Luther.
We had him in there for 3 days. And he was doing interviews with different radio stations that we had set up for him. And we were also doing a show for him because he had a release at that time. And I was writing the show that morning. And as I was writing it, I hear this voice in my next cubicle over. And it's his voice. This guy had came in off the street, off the elevator, and just was making calls, you know, in my cubicle, by the way, just making phone calls. And like, and I came around the corner and I saw him and I said, Luther, oh, what? You're not here with anybody? Where's everybody at? Where's your people? Right? So then I escorted him into the interview room and stuff, you know, and asked him if he wanted anything, whatever. But he was a sweetheart that whole 3 days. He did all those interviews. He did all the parts that we need for our show and everything else. And on top of that, he was even nice enough to sing happy birthday to my wife, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, and she didn't believe it, and I had to record it for her to get it played back, you know. But he was so
yeah.
nice, and
yeah.
I didn't even ask him to do this. I just said, hey, you know, it's my wife's birthday. And he said, call her up. And, you know, he was so nice, you know. So,
wow.
You know. So these are some of the things that I've been blessed to experience over the years, you know, with the different people that
yes.
I've interviewed or have had talks with, you know. And it's funny because some of the people you think, you know, you have high, I would say, praise for or whatever and stuff, and then you can find out that they're regular people like us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They have good days. They have bad days. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've heard people say, oh, this person is terrible. And they were great when they're with me, you know. They were really nice and they were really cordial and everything else. And then there was other people that I was very surprised to hear. I mean, you find out, you know, that they were nasty or something happened. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah,
it can have, what it basically says is that we're all human. We're all people. You can catch us on a good day and you catch us on a bad day, you know, and
that's right.
And that's one of the things I've always maintained is the era of professionalism. You know, I've always been professional in my work, especially when I've interviewed people and I've talked to people and I've been around people, you know, and I've been blessed. Like I said, I've been blessed to work with some very fine people, some incredible people.
Yeah, Luther, I don't know what I would have did because he'd be singing and I probably would have been, you know, curled up on the floor with my thumb in my mouth crying from one of his songs. And the next minute he'd have you dancing. I mean,
that's me, the fan. But me, the engineer, interviewer, I gotta be cool. I gotta be doing all that on the inside, and then I gotta be able to tell somebody because nobody will believe me. I gotta have a way of
nobody will. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me, Doc, before we end, could you live without music?
Oh no. No, music is my essence. Music is my life. No,
right.
I'm sitting up here right now working on music. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Matter of fact, this interview inspired me so much that I fired up everything. I was just going to get ready to stream myself at 8 o'clock, you know?
It's like, right.
It's one of those things where music is, yeah, I mean, the one thing about music, obviously, is that it can comfort us in all types of moods. It can lift us up, lift our spirits up. You know, it can bring us joy. You know, that's the one thing about radio. People talk about radio, and especially local radio, and they say, "Oh, local radio is going to die. It's going to go away." And they said, "No," because the thing about radio is it's the one medium that when you turn it on, it's always positive. It's always positive.
Yes.
You know, you'll hear a song on there and it's always positive. You know, if you turn on the television, there's always bad news on television. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But on radio,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's always something. And it's always something we listen to while we're doing something else, if you notice. It's radio is something we listen to while we do something else. And music puts us in a mood and music sets the tone, and that's what I try to do when I play.
Yes, it does.
I try to set the tone. And a lot of people don't understand when I tell them my philosophy on DJing. I DJ for people. You know, I create the mood because DJs are psychologists. We are studiers of human behavior.
Yes, you really are.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
we are.
You could be at a dance party, and, you know, if the music ain't right, you know, everybody's sitting down like, okay, what just happened? And it's like, this party sucks. But when you have someone that's good and you can feel out the audience, feel what type of age group they're in, you know, you're not going to be playing stuff that just came out all the time. You're going to be playing some stuff that people can remember, you know, went back in the day, and some stuff that, you know, is relatable. You know, so you got to know your audience. I'm not a DJ, Doc, but I take very, very careful in selecting the type of songs that I play. You know,
I know. I was listening. I was listening before you brought me on and stuff. Tony and Guy. I mean, those are two of my favorites and stuff. I mean, you know.
Yes.
And I recall, if you remember, I'm taking you back now. If you recall at that function where we met, You were hitting on a couple of things I was putting on there, that Big Daddy Kane Smooth Operator, and a couple of things like that, you know. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about trying to, you know, focus on the people that you're playing for and bring out those kind of memories and those kind of things that are, you know, that are important in your life, you know. And a lot of DJs don't really understand that as much. But like I said, I come from a different era, and that's what we were taught. That's how we rolled, you know. And
absolutely.
You know, and I'll continue to do that till the day I die.
Well, you know what? Thank you so much for taking out the time. I am honored to have you on because, like I said, you know, this is not something that I thought I'd be doing in my lifetime. It just was not on the radar, and somehow, you know, doors opened up and I just was pushed to start this. And, you know, to have you on is just like, you know, having a dream come true when you're so down to earth and you're so genuine. And I love that about you. And thank you again for coming on.
Yes. No problem. The pleasure is all mine. And before we even spoke, I had to make sure that I said, let me listen to a couple of her shows here. And I really think you do a great job and continue to do new things.
You.
And I will continue to help support you and everything else. As a matter of fact, if you allow me one quick plug. So, you know, this year I'm actually celebrating my 15th year on WBLS.
Okay.
Did you know that? Yeah, my 15th year being on the air.
No, I didn't know.
Yep. And along with Kevin Hedge from the Roots NYC with Louis Vega, he and I are doing a party together coming up November 25th. That's Thanksgiving weekend at SOB's in New York. November 25th.
Okay, writing this down.
Yep.
But I'm gonna be in
so
touch with you because, and you know I'm gonna be in touch with you. But congratulations, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
Celebrating 15 years on the air—that's a long time, and you know,
not a lot of people get
that opportunity, especially on one of, you know, the biggest stations in New York. You know,
that's right. WBLS always got me. So. Yes, and thank you so much. And I'm going to be in touch with you because I did do some of the things that you were telling me to do. So I'm going to follow up with you with that. So thank you so much again, and you have a fabulous night.
Thank you. You too. And enjoy yourself and everybody in your audience as well. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was DJ Doc Martin of WBLS. You know you've heard him before, and now you've heard him on my show. And I'm going to play a little bit of Nothing Can Separate Us by Canton Jones. I'm going to come back through the Salvation Prayer and also read some of my past guests.
I put this on everything, and you know that it's true, that it's me and you forever, and nothing can separate me from you, from you. And nothing can separate me from you, from you. And nothing can separate me from you. I put this on everything, and you know that it's true, that it's me and you forever, and nothing can separate me from you, from you. And nothing can separate me from you, from you. And nothing can separate me from you. Can separate me from you, from you. Nothing can can separate me from you.
I like that. That's a new cut. Kenton Jones, Nothing Can Separate. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, no matter what your perception of me is. And that's what I love about Jesus. He don't need your permission to bless me. Whether I'm good, whether I'm bad, whether I'm ugly, it's all the same. And I know that I can go to him and ask for forgiveness. And that's just the sweetest thing that I can, you know, that I know of. God loves me more than anybody that I know. And I'm going to go ahead and read this salvation prayer coming from the New Living Translations, Romans 10:9-11. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And so if you want to give your life to Christ, you know, you can do that. You don't need nobody's permission to do it. And God has touched you, and you know, hey, it's time. You know what I'm saying? Stop playing games. I'm not going to get everything right. I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to try to get myself together with the Lord, my spirituality. And you want to do that, you go right ahead and find some place that you feel safe at, that you can trust to go and teach you and learn and get a higher understanding of God and the Bible. And so in any case, I'm going to play some more music. I just want to thank Doc Martin again. It is just an honor for him to say how well that I have been doing with this show. To have him to say it is definitely an honor. And it is wonderful that he is celebrating 15 years of doing radio on WBLS, and it's just wonderful. So in any case, I'm going to play a little bit of Hold Tight and come back and read Past Guests. Hold Tight by Change.
Hold Tight.
Okay.
That was Hold Tight by Change, definitely a throwback from the 70s or 80s. I'm not sure which one, but I like this song a lot. But anyway, I am going to read some of my past guests who have been on this show at some point in time or who I've interviewed as a reporter doing Talk to Me Media. DJ Juan Kuhn, Michael Dunham, Benita Brooks, Ernest Brown, Tamar Cardwell, Al Thomas, Melba Moore, CeCe Peniston, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladisaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, D. Lucas, Yo-Yo, the legendary hip-hop artist, the legendary Donnell Jones and Special Ed, Davey Lozano, Randy Young, Joe Show, Nick Kelly, Nick Agnetto, the original Spinderella, the Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Norman Tappan, Chris Clark, Mo Green, Monique Smith, Dre Romero, Spencer Camp, Cool Mike Ski, Rasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King Mafioso / King the Barber, Jonathan Pierre Du Bois Jr. and Jonathan Du Bois Sr., Arne Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Elder Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, my mom, Andrea Daniels, my sister, Charles Fulton, Sebastian Tribby, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, Jay Alexander, Cheryl Kelly, FSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Dempsey, A. Curtis Fowle, Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judah Seeley, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tazell, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Misconduct, Ricky Allen John, J. Trini Goring, Coffee Goring, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, Don Nottingham of The Stylistics, Midnight, Sonia Hudson Payne, Trina Seymour Bowers, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, Author M.L. Brooks, Odelia, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, Marcia Sapp, Carissa Dow, John Hinton, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, Bernadette Barnes of New York, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Jerry Green, excuse me, of WYBC, Rasheem Dixon of WYBC, Prophet Ramai Jubilani, Ashley Mondestin, Steve Wallace, Pierre Guten, Sierra Lau Hassan Jones, Pastor Arlene Henry, Songbird, Dave Farrell, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Dwight Lamar of New York, Maris Goldstone, she just had a birthday. Hi, Auntie, love you so much. Herb Boyd Jr., Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, Damon Cook, Tyrone Dunmore, a.k.a. Terrible T, Candace Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, Big T, Kia Swentz, Lachey Nicole, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Robbie Jenkins, Marilyn Moore, Naja McKenzie, Najia Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethia, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Addison, Chandra Shabazz, Carolyn Smith, Naja McKenzie, Kayla, Nini Ali, Mr. Council, Frankie Brady, Elder Savanda Gaskew, Pamela Wright, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazz E. Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Bishop Ernest Richards, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams, Gina Blaze, Connie Johnson, Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zaks, David Davis, Anthony E. Brown, Jr., Ernell Grant, Brian DeCausey, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey of New York, Cool Bubba Ice, Humphrey Bogart, Marlon Randolph, Lachey Nicole, Asante M. Smith, Johnny Lemon, Karina Fort, Tishy Anderson, Renee Love, Treasure Marie, Ebony with an X, Cece Lee, Kaylee Roselle, Top Notch Band, Norman Tappan, Monique Smith, Vicky Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurklin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holiday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, Mary Mary, Bobby, Bobby Valentino, Diedrich Haddon, excuse me, Nigel, Dr. Jell Dunkley, Janet Dawson of Atlanta, Denzel Williams, Velasquez Singers of New Jersey, Walter Armistead of New York, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green of New Jersey, Sammy Maximum, John the Apprentice, Nikki Rich, Tony Doc Hardy, Anthony Delavan, Derek O.C. Reed, Marlon Baker, Pookie Williams, Kareem Blue, Katrina Atkinson, Black Sav, Lakeisha Henderson, Jonathan Edwards, Angelique Jones, Priscilla Princess Jones, J. Ann Marie, Miss Jones, Steph Jones. There's a lot of Joneses going on. Key Dollar, Maximilian of New York, Karen Jennings, Aisha Fabian, Enrique LeBron, Hype Man, Aldo, John Espo, and I think I said Dre Romero already, but if not, Dre Romero. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio. We are in our 13th season. Please share the link. Let somebody else know that you have been listening and that you like this show. And continue to listen. And like I said, we're trying to see if Tamar Caldwell and Ernest Brown will stay in the lead before the end of this year, with the last show being in December. I don't remember the date that it will be. But see if, you know, one of your guests that you really like will end up being the winner. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm losing my voice and I got to go. So I'm going to play a little bit of A Diamond in the Rough by Anthony Hamilton.
Let it fade. Looking at you, I can tell you've had hard times in your life. Now it's time for me to make everything right. I'm gonna shower you with lovely things, help you smile again. I'm gonna get to know you, make it right so you can breathe again.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and I'm here to make it better.
Yeah.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and we gon' shine it up together.
From a broken heart, life's got you down.
Life's got you down.
And the bags under your eyes have the smiles inside, just tearing you apart. Girl, you're looking at change. I'm a man who prays, and I'm strong in faith.
Strong in faith.
God must have had a plan, placed you in my hand. Let me lead the
you're
way.
You're a diamond in the rough.